you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not adjust your sets. That is correct. It is a special Believe You Me podcast on a Sunday. UFC 270 just happened last night. I was there. Sensational night of fights. Tremendous main event. Lots of talking points. And we wanted to get ahead of the curve. We wanted to beat everyone to it. Oh, by Monday night, that is old news. No, that's bullshit. These motherfuckers are fucking off to Jamaica and leaving me in the lurch. So I'm like, we got no choice but to record it on a Sunday morning.
There's no choice but to be fired up, waking up in the morning after two heavyweights go at it and two flyweights leave their heart in the octagon. You know, obviously, I want to wake up on Sunday morning and talk about this first thing. So I'm happy. And yeah, I mean, the added perk of being in Jamaica for a week is there. But
oh, no, you could. I had to do it. Of course. Harrington, I got one question for you. And what's Brian that? Touched on this off the air a second ago before we started, and it's a very, very good point. When I logged in, you were on there, you were framing up and all that stuff, right? And I said, whoa, that's a very shiny head you have there, Harrington, to which Brian responded with, and it was the perfect answer, why would you shave it and make it such a hazard for sunburn when you're going to the island of Jamaica this evening? Why would you choose that time to make your head as, what's the word I'm looking for, susceptible to being scalded by the power of the sun? Why would now be the time?
All right. So like everything else in my life, didn't think about it for a second. All I know is I'm going to be taking pictures on the beach in Jamaica and my hair looked terrible. So had to get rid of it.
Have you been to Jamaica?
No, never been to Jamaica.
Brian,
before.
Right about now, have you been there, man? You're not.
Brian is not there.
He's dead. He's not here right about now. That's for damn sure. Okay.
Sanka, right. You dead, man?
Well, listen, will you guys have fun? Enjoy. And that actually means that this week I get to have a life, kind of, because, you know, I'm not talking about myself, but I am talking about myself. I'm slammed. I'm doing BT Sport, doing ESPN, doing Believe You Me, doing YouTube, all that stuff, and a bunch of other crap as well. None of that this week. We're banging the podcast out on a Sunday, The Thursday episode, sadly, only one episode this week because the guys will be down in Jamaica. They deserve a break. So, yeah, we're just going to do the one episode this week. So Thursday, I have a little bit of a life. No BT Sport because the Wayne was just on. No ESPN. No fights next weekend either from the UFC. So no commentary. So, yeah, I'm going to be at a loss of things to do. I mean, I guess I'm going to have to spend time with my wife and children and be a normal person for once. Kind of looking forward to it.
So, like, I wanted to ask you about that. Like, you know, you do have a, like, you know, we talk obviously every single week just trying to schedule this show. And it's, you know, your life is very hectic. So, like, if you see these, like, 4 or 5 day chunks on the calendar, like, when can you run out there and be like, all right, like, we're going to, you know, Pasadena for a weekend and stay in there or whatever is, like, in driving distance?
Yeah, no, listen, I do have a little bit of free time, but I do also have some people that I know flying in this weekend as well. Well, no, they're here. One of them lands tomorrow. One of them got here at the weekend. He went to New York, then he went to Vegas, and then he's coming to LA. He's like, oh, I've got some free time, but no, I'm going to drop everything and ferry people about, but I'm not complaining. But yeah, no, I'm going to take Lucas, does jiu-jitsu and wrestling, and he loves it, but he's got a real skill for kicking. And he's the striker, because we mess around and we spar every night. Well, not every night, but you know, in the bedroom we start messing about.
Yeah,
and he's good. He's definitely got a little knack for kickboxing. So I'm trying to find somewhere good in Orange County to take. I'm going to start him and roll him in the arts of striking this week. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know where to take him. The shooter box, which is amazing. I used to train there in Gerson Chilipatrick, but it's like an hour's drive. And, you know, let's be honest, you know, with a busy schedule, squeezing an hour in once or twice a week, hour there, then you got to wait like an hour and a half, then drive back. I mean, it's a whole thing, this being a father business.
Right. But it's like, all right, I mean, you and Rebecca could maybe split that. Like the, I don't know. It's
No. She's too busy messing around with horses, stables, and sitting on her ass. Let's be honest. She doesn't have time for that stuff. No, I'm joking. She does a lot of the wrestling and the jujitsu and stuff as well. So if I'm adding in an extra wrinkle, an extra art,
this is all on you.
I'm going to have to take responsibility for it. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, have a great time down in Jamaica. What are you looking forward to the most down there?
I mean, apparently there's a chance we're going to be swimming with dolphins, something that I've never done before, something that I've always heard is, you know, like it seems like a cheesy touristy thing to do, but I don't know, on its surface, seems kind of cool.
Seems awesome. You might find true love. You know, some people, there's people that have fallen in love with dolphins. Did you know that?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. Apparently people rape dolphins, or dolphins have raped a man.
Other way around. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is dolphins this true? Brian, just look that up.
I don't need to. Dolphins are rapists.
Explain. This came in my head. We didn't discuss this beforehand, but I'm like, yeah, I have heard this story about dolphins raping people.
Yeah.
It's just wild. I mean, give me some background, please.
I would imagine it works kind of like a dog just running up and humping you, you know? Yeah, but,
hold on. Do dolphins have dicks?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a dolphin dick.
We're about to.
we got Francis Ngannou beating Cyril Garn using wrestling, a new art for Francis, just much like Lucas is going to learn. We've got John Jones tweeting we had a sensational fight.
Oh,
but
my God.
That dolphin dicks is what we're going to discuss to start this show. And I apologize to all you people, but tough shit, this is what we want to hear. Let's take a look.
And there you have it. That is a dolphin dick.
Oh my God. Doesn't look. Okay. It looks like it needs a bit of blue chew. Let's be honest. Do you know what I mean? That one on the right, that orange piece of sushi. Do you know what I mean? It looked like a piece of like moldy salmon. That ain't doing anything.
No. Well, I'm assuming that's got to be flaccid, but they do, like, they have that cloacal thing, you know, like that like little bone, you know, so they're.
Cloaca.
Guys. I'm sorry. You two seem like you've done a lot of research on this. You're like, oh, we're going down to Jamaica. We're swimming with dolphins. All of a sudden, you two are clued in on the size of their dicks. Do you know what I mean? You're clued in on whether or not you're going to get lucky. You're like, oh, they're sexually aggressive. What is the pheromone or the smell that is going to drive these dolphins crazy? Because no doubt you've looked into that because you want to get raped this weekend.
Whatever Harrington's musk is. don't you usually look up, you know, the local gangs and how to deal with them before you go someplace, Mike?
Jamaica is dangerous, though. So I hear a good friend of mine was just there, and he said, I stayed in the resort. You go out of the resort, and it's a little bit shady. I'm sure for the locals it's not, but I'm sure if Harrington went wandering around at 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk off Red Stripe, after being raped and penetrated from a dolphin, I think that would be the least of your problems. You're going to come back. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to you, but it won't be good.
I feel like that's a very suburban thing to say, you know, like, yeah, we're not going to, like, don't leave the resort, right? Like, you stay on the resort because obviously it's all inclusive. Nobody wants to leave the resort. But every time I've gone to, like, the Dominican Republic, you know, we went out and, like, had, like, a meal in one of the people who worked there's homes and, like, got to, like, check out the town and, like, do some of the really cool stuff. And, like, what they've told me is, like, you don't mess with tourists in places like this, right? Because if you get the rep that you're messing with tourists, that hurts everybody's pocket.
Well, that's the
right?
infrastructure, and that's how a lot of these places, you know, that's their economy, essentially. But, and you're absolutely right, Hamilton. That's why, I mean, I have been on an all-inclusive a long, long time ago. And we used to go when, with my mum and dad, we went a couple of times when we were kids. But I don't like that because I want to get out and I want to sample the restaurants. I want to see the nature. Do you know what I mean? If there's jungles and forests and lakes and stuff like that, I want to get out there and I want to sample all that. I can't do that. I cannot sit in a resort by a pool, worship the sun. Because English, I don't know if you guys don't quite have the same culture, I don't think, because you do get sun. You know what I mean? Even in New York, which I'm pretty sure is freezing right now, right? But you get great summers. In the UK, the weather's dog shit. Do you know what I mean? So generally, a typical British holiday is they go, well, you know, when I was a kid and for a lot of people as well, they go to a hotel somewhere in Spain, somewhere in Greece or wherever it is where the sun's guaranteed, and they lie there and they just get baked and they worship the sun and they get shit-faced around the pool every day. I can't do that. I can do the getting shit-faced part, but I can't. When I first went on holiday with Rebecca, I was lying. She was just lying there sunbathing, reading a book, and I'm sitting there going, okay, been here for 2 hours. I am bored. Can we go rent a moped and go explore the island or something? Do you know what I mean? I can't just sit there like that.
You don't have relax mode? Like you can't just, you know, like shut it off for a little bit?
No. I mean, I can for a little bit if I'm tired. Mm-hmm. That's called being tired. I lie down, I take a nap, I'll have a beer, I start getting a little sweaty, I overheat, I gotta jump in the pool, I get bored. I'm like, can you put the fucking book down? Is that what we're doing? We're just gonna lie here while you read a book? This is not fun to me. Please, let's go and almost kill ourselves without insurance on a local moped that's gonna break down and it's very dangerous. So anyway,
like there is something to be said for like, look, we took a 4-hour plane ride here. We had to get our passports renewed. You know what I mean? Like what? Like you could read a book at home by our pool. Like, let's go do something. There's a jungle right over there.
Correct. So cool. Go and explore. Anyway, have a great time. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. Listen, whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available to you. And most people, they are dealing with something and talking to them will definitely help. I've done this myself and I'm telling you, it helps out massively. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling and financial aid is available and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in just under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matchups. So it's easy and it's free to switch counselors if you need. Okay, listen, maybe you start off, you don't like this guy or woman and you're like, I need someone else. No problem. You send the message to your counselor anytime and you'll also get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule video sessions, weekly phone sessions. It's the perfect way to do therapy during a pandemic, and you haven't got to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. So right now, go to betterhelp.com/believe to join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Ladies and gentlemen, betterhelp.com/believe. But when you're there, got to use the code BELIEVE. That gets you 10% off your first month. Okay, enjoy and good luck. Let's get into this stuff here because UFC 270 was a tremendous main event. Event. There was a lot of people making the debut on there. And there was a lot of people, I saw some grumblings online about the card. But there were some great fights. I mean, top to bottom, it really was. And we'll start with the main event, of course, because that's the big one. And we'll go down and we'll run through the fights. John Jones on the bloody brain, because he's relevant to this conversation. Francis Ngannou, Cyril Garn. I predicted Francis to win. Didn't think it would be like this. Didn't think it would be a 5-round submission. Didn't think we'd see him out wrestling him. But in hindsight, it's the perfect approach. You're fighting a European kickboxer, right? A guy that is a great Thai boxer. He was 19-0. He's made the transition to MMA. He's good at striking. You could argue that he's a specialist in striking. And yes, he's had a couple of submissions, but he's not a submission master, you know, and he hasn't really shown wrestling. What is the approach for Francis Ngannou, who's lived in the States for a long time? The mecca of MMA is America. Las Vegas is the fight capital of the world. Some of the best coaches in the world. Eric Nixik, Extreme Couture. Of course, in hindsight, and you're dealing with one of the biggest, strongest guys on the goddamn planet, get your hands on him, put him down, because that stops Cyril Garn being fleet of foot, light on his feet, loosey-goosey, elusive, moving around, dancing around, and pick Francis apart as the fight progresses. Because, and I'll let you jump in just a second, round one, Ngannou who looked really dangerous, and it looked like, oh, here we go, because he connected with a few shots, and Ngannou covered up against the fence, and there were some nice uppercuts, and Francis was very dangerous, and he was being aggressive, and I thought, oh, you never know. Wow, is he going to do it? Is he going to get him out of there in the first round? Round two, though, he slowed down. Because he probably thought, I can't keep going like this for five rounds. Well, I can't possibly go like that. And we saw Cyril starting to settle in to what the kind of game plan we thought we would see. Right, and this is how we would beat him, being light on the feet, dancing around, and picking him apart from a distance. But as we know, round three, the takedown started, landed four takedowns in total. That fucking beautiful body slam, and cruised to a victory in many ways. Sorry, I'll take a breath. I'll let you jump in, bud.
Oh, you're good, man. I think you're doing a better job of recapping this fight as somebody who was there live versus, you know, me who was running up and down trying to run a comedy show and watching it in my green room, right? I it's incredible to me. Kamaru Usman's been training with him since the Stipe Miocic fight, right? And I remember when Usman went over there, it was like when Usman and Ngannou started training together, and it was like, man, this doesn't really make any sense, you know? Like, there's no way Francis is going to pull this off on Stipe Miocic. But I heard you talking about it in the post fight presser. Yeah, it's a French kickboxer. That's the kind of guy who Francis Ngannou could take 2 years of wrestling under Kamaru Usman and really put a clinic on Cyril Gane last night.
Yeah, because the reality is this, and let's just all slow our rolls. Francis Ngannou still isn't a wrestler, you know what I mean? But you don't need to know all the techniques. You don't need to know how to put together a very elaborate chain wrestling attack. Go to the single leg, to the double leg, to the body lock, back to the single, to a high crotch. He doesn't need to know any of that. It's super basic. Like when I used to wrestle, again, I wasn't a wrestler, but I had a few takedowns nailed, you know, and that's what they always say. You don't need to know 1,000 techniques. You know what I mean? You just gotta have a few that you're really good at. And it's pretty basic stuff, right? Bam, bam, bam. You get them to lift their hands up because they're defending from the shots, and then you shoot for the legs against the fence. And if you get your hands together behind the ass, right, then you pick them up, and then you're half, and then it's done. It's fucking done. And then there was a couple of others on display as well. I thought Ngannou really impressed me with this, even though it is a basic jiu-jitsu sweep, but he hit a scissor sweep in round five, because fair play to Cyril Gane. He came out in round five and said, hey, motherfucker, you're not the only one who can wrestle. Boom. Surprised him with a single leg. And I thought that was really smart, right? And if Cyril had kept him down for that fifth round, you know, it would have made it more interesting on the scorecards. Probably Francis would have still won, but still, it would have been a closer fight. You don't think so?
No.
Either. To be honest, Cyril's hand fighting in the first round, like, was amazing.
I had Ngannou winning round one. I had him winning round three, four, and five.
So, I mean, two of the judges disagreed with you, because there was 248-47. Yeah. So that fifth round going to Ngannou 100% won him the fight. So if Gane was to, like you said, if Gane stayed on top for that fifth round, he wins that and is the champion.
Yeah, they were close rounds, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. They were close rounds. And I have no problem with the score of 48-47. No problem. Two judges gave it that, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah, I have no issue with that. I could see an argument, is what I'm saying, for a 49-46. I understand why that judge did that. And had Cyril kept it down for that fifth round, he might have won the fight. And hitting that scissor sweep the way that he did, it was great. As I say, kind of a basic sweep, but the fact that we're seeing Ngannou in there hitting takedowns, hitting scissor sweeps from his back, it shows the work that he's been putting in, you know, and hitting that sweep, Cyril will be so annoyed because he was off balance, he was too high, and he looked a little green. But as I said, that's to be expected. That's to be expected because he is a specialist. And while he's, it's fucking wild. 11th fight, he's already the interim champ, and he's fighting for the undisputed belt. The rise and how fast it was is incredible. But when you do that, not everything's going to be as polished as a striking. Getting really good at jiu-jitsu and really good at wrestling and putting it all together and blending the arts, it takes years. And he's only been doing it for three.
It's almost like he set up this mystique around him, right? Where it's like he broke out the wrestling and the submissions early on in his UFC career, and it kind of gave people the impression like, oh, you don't want to go that place with him. You should stay like striking on the feet with him because that's the best place to fight him. And he became this like, you know, he would point fight guys, the Volkov fight and on down the line, his first couple of fight night main events was like, yeah, I'm just going to play keep away, get up on the cards and fight a very smart fight. What he was doing largely in round one and round two. So for, I don't know, like there was a moment in that, I was either the second or third round, where Francis looked over at his corner, right? And they, like he was going back and forth with them, and then he tried like the step over sweep for the first time, and it was the first time he attempted wrestling, and it hit me like, oh my god, like this was the plan. Let yeah. Cyril get comfortable and then break this out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, yes, he slowed down Francis, but still to go five rounds when you're that big, you know what I mean? And it's, this is the easiest way of breaking it down for somebody that doesn't understand the gas tanks and all the rest of it and him being big. It's that simple. You drive to Las Vegas or wherever in a tiny little car and look at the amount of gas you have to put in. Drive there in a Lamborghini or a big, massive truck. Yeah, Francis ain't a Lamborghini. Francis is a big, massive, big rig. You know what I mean? You're going to need more gas. You're going to need more petrol and power. Do you know what I mean? More blood, oxygen, and training to get him there. You know, and it's that simple, you know?
He's like one of those early aughts H2s. You know what I mean?
I don't know what that is. What's that?
Like those big boxy Hummers.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, my neighbors still have one. They drive it around every day. Big gas guzzler. But I tell you what, it was kind of, I mean, Cyril, I mean, that slam that he hit him with, right, when he caught the leg. I mean, that was really nice, but it was also kind of dangerous because Cyril threw a head kick, right, and mm-hmm. I'll move over here so you can see this arm. He caught it underneath. He underhooked the leg. Now, when someone kicks to the body and you step away from the kick because you step away from the power, right? And as you step away, you gather up the foot like that. So you've got an overhook on the leg. You've caught the kick, right? And so then you can't do what Francis did because Francis caught it underneath. By catching it underneath, he can hoist him high up in the air and then kick the other leg away, which is exactly what he did. But the problem when you go and try and catch a kick like that, you have nothing here. Do you know what I mean? It could have come to the head. So Francis could have fucking caught him with a massive head kick. But still, he caught it underneath, picked him up, powered him up through the air, but he also kicked the other leg away from under him. So it wasn't just power. There was some nice technique on display there. Landed right in fucking side control. It was really, really well executed from Francis.
Were you surprised at all, right? Like that, how little striking there was on the ground from Francis, right? A guy who had 8 minutes and 30 seconds of control time in this fight still lost the total striking volume battle.
Yeah, he could have done more for sure. He could have done more, but he was also getting tired. He also didn't want to lose position. And he probably knew that had Cyril got back to his feet, then he's back in the danger zone again. Because on the feet, Francis was getting tired. He was dangerous and he was imposing his will in the first round. But as it went on, as I say, that big rig needed the next petrol station, the next gas station. And he's like, oh God, we're slowing down. We gotta cruise to that gas station. We can't be redlining it. We gotta drop it. You know what I mean? Just go 30 miles an hour because we're not gonna make it. You know, and again, wow, what an analogy. But it is, though. You know what I mean? If you're low on gas, you fucking slow it down. And that's what Francis was doing on the feet because he was getting so tired. But when you're on top of him, using his body weight, right, to hold him down, to control him, posturing up to land big shots is very energetic, energy consuming. And then B, it gives Cyril the space to get back to his feet. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen more. I thought he was dangerous when Cyril was getting up a couple of times. He had the overhook. He had the turtle position. He was raining down blows. We even saw Francis stick his fucking hooks in at one point.
How scary was that?
And try and take his back. You know what I mean? Dude, you know?
Someone that large and imposing, right? Like, obviously, he's a threat with his hands. But then you see, like, the real jiu-jitsu in there where it's like, oh, this guy is a complete assassin in every respect of the word.
It wasn't Damian Maya in there, let's be honest. No. But it does show evolution. It shows that he's been working. And as I said before, it's like, I don't think anybody expected that. But in hindsight, In hindsight, it's so glaringly obvious. You're training in America with a lot of great wrestlers and wrestling partners, and you're fighting a European kickboxer. And Francis didn't have those skills when he was training with Fernand Lopez, who is the coach of Ciryl Gane. That is a new wrinkle that he has since coming to America. And why is that? Well, Fernand Lopez isn't a wrestling coach. Yes, he's an MMA coach. I would dare to say he's probably a striking coach. I don't know much about his background, so my apologies on that. But France has produced tremendous kickboxers, Thai boxers throughout history. You know, not so sure about the wrestling.
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, that's actually super interesting. I didn't think of that at all. That is the wrinkle and the one part that they could hide of their game plan. You know what I mean? From a very
deep.
Interestingly, I looked at it. Decision.
Ryan?
Oh, I was just gonna say. I was gonna bring this up. John Jones had something to say about Francis's evolution.
Oh, yes, please. Let's take a look. Lol, shit. I may just enjoy retirement. I love how everyone gets so impressed with the new guy. Who's the new guy, Francis? He's been around for a while.
Ciryl.
Oh, Ciryl.
Yeah, because everybody was giving Ciryl all the credit in the world. Coming
for
into
what?
This fight, to be.
Oh, yeah, no, coming into the fight. Yeah. Well, I mean, go on, Brian.
He went off as the favorite. You know, he coming in as an interim champion to go off as the favorite for the betting market to say, I think Ciryl is going to win this fight.
Well, because look what he did to Derek Lewis. And that was kind of a blueprint, you know. And that's why, again, using wrestling to take him down, you don't have the ability to do that. John Jones tweeting there, you know, inserting himself once again. I said it last night, you know, stop tweeting and start fighting. Listen, I'm a fan of Jones, you know, but you're not competing. You're not stepping in the octagon. You're not putting it on the line, you know. So to sit there from the sidelines and talk a little bit of shit, I mean, I get it. He's entitled to do that. Anyone can jump on fucking Twitter. But I don't think it's the best look. You know, you moved up from light heavyweight, what is it, 2 years ago now? It's been a while since his last fight.
Well, did you see the other tweet that he put up there?
Please let me take a look. I would love to see. I don't think I did. I was on TV last night. Lol, shit, I may enjoy retirement. We saw that a minute ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. He's talking, you know, he's like, I may not come back because Francis is...
No, he also said, he also very clearly said, you know, there's a quote out there, you know, I would beat the brakes off of both of these guys or something
along
those lines.
Yeah, no, I saw something like that. And I saw a lot of backlash as well, you know. Just come and fight. The problem is now, obviously, we got a lot of contractual negotiations that need to take place. And on top of that, but let's talk about this. Francis had a torn MCL or ACL. I forget which one it was. And Anthony Smith, who will be becoming, by the way, a regular co-host on this show one a week. Anthony will be manning up and joining us and giving us his insight and, you know, his charm. But we were sitting there, we were watching the fight, and I was working with Anthony on ESPN. We were talking this week. We're friends, we're buddies, we're colleagues. And as Francis is walking into the octagon, I'm like, oh, you know, you're getting excited. You're in the cage, sorry, in the arena. The crowd goes black. All the lights go off. The fans are cheering. It's exciting. You go, what do you think? Like, last prediction. And he goes, well, I've got a secret. I said, what's the secret? He says, I can't say. I said, what do you mean you can't say it? He goes, okay, don't say anything. He says, he's got a torn ACL. I said, what? You've been sitting on this whole time. He said, yeah, apparently. So then, therefore, when Francis came out and said that, and then came out wearing the knee sleeves as well, we were all like, oh, shit, because I had no idea. But Smith had been sitting on that for a while.
Real-ass dude Anthony Smith is.
I know. Didn't even tell us, like, off the record. You know what I mean?
But I mean, like, literally anybody and their mother who's like in his position in MMA media, right, would like shank their mother for news like that to break that story. And Anthony Smith is sitting there like, yeah,
I mean,
that's
an extreme. Shank their own mother to reveal that Francis Ngannou has an issue with his knee.
Do you know how far some of these guys will go for clicks? Yes.
Well, that just goes to show you Harrington's character.
I was going to say, take him out to Hawaii, get him raped off a dolphin and leave him there, penetrated and afraid. Oh, my God. That's the new show. Never mind naked and afraid, penetrated and afraid.
He's going to
covered in dolphin jizz.
Yeah, you got to deal with your with just being near a pod of dolphins. Just deal with the PTSD.
We'll leave the penetration. We'll go back to the John Jones. Francis Ngannou. Yeah, to go in there and do that with the knee injury as well, pretty impressive. Cyril's going to be pissed off, though, when he knows this, when he looks back, because he never attacked the legs. He's going to watch it. Oh, zut alors, I cannot believe this. You know, I see him walking with the knee braces. I should have kicked his leg, but I did not know this. You know, because he should have done. But, hey, everything's so hindsight. Rogan, 2020.
Sorry to interrupt you. Rogan was calling him out on that early. Like, there was shots there in that first round. Do you think that is, like, a respect thing where it's like he's coming in, like, my knees are fucked up. Like, just don't injure me to win this fight?
No, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Listen, it's all fair when you step in there. Do you know what I mean? I had one eye, right? And George St. Pierre said it on the post-fight press conference, talking to Rogan, pardon me. He said, I knew he didn't see well out of that eye. So that was the game plan. It's all fair. We're trying to win the fight. And if someone's got an injury, somebody's got a weakness, then you capitalize on that. You take it from simple. And if you see or you suspect that he's got a bad knee, a bad leg, fuck it. You go for it. You really do.
Then why not a single shot at, you know what I mean? I literally remember one shot to the leg and Francis did, you know, get his leg up and kick it out and he defended.
Well, it wasn't because he felt sorry for him and thought, oh, I'm not going to kick his fucking leg. Okay.
Sorry,
it wasn't.
No.
We'll get that out of your mind. While you're blowing your own mind, blow that thought out of there. Because it's not that. You know, I mean, Cyril is a gentleman. And there was respect between the two of them. But there's no way he's going to go, you know, I would rather lose this fight than hurt his leg. No. We don't do this. No, that is not the case. Anyway, I don't think we're going to see Ngannou back in there for a little bit. There's a knee problem. He's going to have surgery by all accounts. And then, of course, there's some contractual stickiness as well with him in the UFC, which I don't want to get into being a UFC employee. Then there's John Jones out there. You know, I would like to see him come back, but Francis isn't going to be there best part of a year. I would say he's saying he's not going to fight for a year anyway. But if he does have a torn ACL, that's the best part of a year out of there anyway. So what does this mean? It means we might see another interim championship. We may.
So do you think it's that or is John Jones posturing, right? That, you know, like, I'm not going to fight the loser of this fight, obviously. And I'm calling out Francis Ngannou because I know Francis Ngannou isn't going to fight me for a year.
I don't think it's anything like that. John is just obviously the guy that people are expecting to come in and fight, and he's just talking shit. Should be next, though? But let's assume that everything was gravy, you know what I mean? And he wasn't going to have surgery, and he potentially wasn't going to sit out for a year. The John Jones would be my number one pick. And then after that, it's Stipe Miocic. Stipe Miocic is 1-1 with Francis Ngannou. He should be next. Shouldn't be next. If it wasn't for John Jones, he would be next. Also, there's the Black Beast. Obviously has a win over him. And he rebounded with a beautiful victory over Chris Dawkins. We've got Tom Aspinall and Alexander Volkov. That's confirmed as the new main event for London. Heavyweight division is in a really interesting, exciting place, other than the fact that the champion's about to fuck off for a year. Other than that, there's a lot of exciting matchups. All right, let's just hear from paintyourlife.com. Listen, you're out there. Everyone's taking pictures on the mobile phones, on the cell phones, but you never do anything with them. Back in the day, you'd print that off. Well, guess what? With paintyourlife.com, you can take those treasured memories and have them turned into a beautiful piece of art. You can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price, or you can combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. User-friendly platform makes it easy to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's fast. You receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks. You can send any pictures of yourself, children, family, special place, dogs, loved ones. Alfie, make the perfect picture, the perfect birthday present, anniversary, or wedding gift. Give it to a meaningful person, which can be cherished forever. This is really cool. It really is, right? You can have a picture turned into a really beautiful hand-drawn portrait by an artist. Of course, this is nothing new, but it makes it so easy. I was trying to get a picture of Rebecca and I and the kids done, and we went through some artists and stuff like that, and it was really hard. This does all that hard work for you, and I'm not lying. It took me a long time, and in the end, we just gave up. Here's what you got to do to take advantage of this. Go to paintyourlife.com. And listen, at paintyourlife.com, there is no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping to get this special offer. Text the word believe to 64,000. That's believe to 64,000. Text believe to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. All right, where were we? All right, co-main event. I mean, what a fight it was. One that we're going to see again, but we'll get to that later. But Moreno Figueiredo, what a show. What a war. Absolutely loved it. Mexican fans going insane. Pissed out of the faces, wasted drunk, I mean by that. They were having a good old time. Every time I went for a piss, they were staggering around the Honda Center. Oh, Bisping, Bisping. I'm like, that's always the thing. Like, you know, UFC fans, I'm not bigging myself up. You know, at a UFC event, if you're a UFC fighter, you're going to have to take pictures. But they were armed with multiple beers in their hands and they were spilling it everywhere. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, they were having a good old time.
The great Modelo balancing act of 2022, just trying to get four of them in while getting a picture.
Hey, what a fight. What a fight. I mean, you could see the improvements for Figueiredo, the wrestling, the influence from Henry Cejudo, of course, the boxing, the speed and the output of Brandon Moreno. Just an absolute back and forth war. Loved it. The reality is the arena, as I say, mainly a massive Mexican contingent there weren't happy when the score got read out. But the sad thing is, the big moments did belong to Figueiredo. And it wasn't just one or two. It was consistently throughout the fight. And when you've got two fighters that are very close, when a round is really, really close, even, you know, like in boxing, a 10-9 round, if you drop somebody, it's automatically a 10-9 round to you. And then if you win the round, it's a 10-8. It's not like that in MMA. But judges are human beings, you know what I mean? And if it's really close, but one guy fucking dropped the other guy, he did more damage. So that kind of swings it in the mind of the judge. So, you know, Brandon is annoyed. He's pissed off. He feels like he was robbed. But I think when he watches it back, I don't think he'll have too much of an issue with it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was pretty clearly a 1-3-5 situation. I know you say that's not how MMA scoring works, but to me, as a fan, anytime I've scored it at home, if one fighter lands a knockdown in a round, the other one doesn't, it's pretty clearly that guy's round. So I had 3-5 going to Figueiredo, and then slightly higher output by Figueiredo in the first round, so I gave that to him.
Yeah, you know, and he had a lot of takedowns as well. And he, you know, the calf kicks. I mean, he took him off his feet several times with the calf kicks. I'm not sure how many times he dropped him, but he dropped him with punches on several occasions. But it was being there in the arena and seeing Moreno come on for those last 90 seconds, you know, because the output, you could see how badly he wanted it. And he was fucking trying. He put together beautiful boxing combinations, a lot of pressure. And the arena was going fucking crazy. Like, is he going to do it? Is he going to pull it off? Is he going to get the come from behind victory and take him out of there in the last few seconds? And sadly, it did not for Brandon Moreno. But of course, this means one thing and one thing only. For the first time in the history of mixed martial arts, we're going to see, and it's not called a quadrilogy. I don't know what the word is. Just look that up, Brian. It's not a quadrilogy. But we're going to fucking see one. And I know Davison Figueiredo, and God bless him, I thought that was ballsy to say, hey, let's do it down in Mexico City. Bri?
It is quadrilogy.
Oh, it is. It is. It's a quadrilogy. I don't know. But still, if Brian says it, the whole of Google at his fingertips, then we're going with fucking quadrilogy. But that's what we're going to see. And it was ballsy for him to call out Mexico City. But I think since then he's done a U-turn on that and said he wants to do it in Brazil. And I think they should. But either way, we're going to see a fourth one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're doing it in Anaheim, that is essentially Little Mexico, right? So yep. you've gotten close enough there. I think, yeah, it does make sense to do one on Figueredo's home turf because you got to do something to mix these up, right? Like, these are clearly the two best flyweights on the planet. They're just going to keep fighting each other until one of them retires from the sport. So, yeah, let's keep mixing it up and bringing it to new locations. I will keep watching these guys fight every eight or nine months.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to complain if they have to see them two fight again. You know what I'm saying? And the reality is they are one, and one. Also known as a tetralogy.
Yes.
There we go, Brian. Well, thank you very much. Yes, you know, I feel like we will perhaps have a tetralogy on our hands very soon, Harrington. Tetralogy.
No. Tit for tetralogy.
Just go back to being penetrated off dolphins, Harrington. That's all you're good for. No, listen, they had a draw. Moreno won one. And then Figueiredo won one. They have to do it because the reality is, whatever you want to say, oh, he had the takedowns. He took him off the feet with the calf kicks. The calf kicks were great. We still don't know who the better fighter is. And that's what we're trying to find out with these things, right? When two men step into an octagon or two women, it's all about who's the better fighter. Well, over the course now of 13 rounds, which is almost an hour, was more than an hour. What's that? 50, 65 with the minute breaks. It's over an hour of fighting. We still don't know who the better man is. You know, we really don't. So they need to do another one. And to echo the sentiment of Figueiredo, he said at the post-fight press conference, he said, nah, screw that. Let's do it in Brazil. And here's a good reason why I think they should do it, because it's almost unfair to all the other guys in the flyweight division. You know, you got a lot of contenders there. You got Askar Askarov, you got Kayakar of France. Who else? You got Brandon Roy Pantoja. You know, so there's a lot of people that are just going to be Saturday night when they hear, when they see this, like, oh, for fuck's sake, they're going to do a fourth one. When am I going to get a shot? Do you know what I'm saying? So I believe Jiří Prochazka, Glover Teixeira, they're going to fight for the belt in May in Brazil. Justin Gaethje and Charles Oliveira have also shown interest doing that. So there's two incredible title fights. Well, fuck it. That's not too far away. Throw on the third title fight. You've got three title fights in Brazil. Massive fight card. We've got Kaikara of France and Askar Askarov. They're fighting. They're booked to fight. And I think whoever wins that would be the next challenger. That what I'm saying is they're not going to have too long to wait. You know what I mean? And that was just a co-main event of a pay-per-view. Putting that on a co-main event of a pay-per-view, again, might be a tall order for the buying public. But sticking three title fights on in Brazil with Glover, Charles Oliveira, Jiří Prochazka, I mean, come on, sign me up.
And the only the second man ever from Brazil to win a title twice in Davison Figueiredo, joining Jose Aldo as the only man to do that. Also, some bad blood here. Like, I thought this was really cool, right? End of the third round, Figueiredo's got the choke in, right? The ref comes, breaks it up, and he gives him the shove off the ground. Then at the end of the fourth round, right, they're tied up towards the end of the round, and Moreno, like, kind of gives him an off-balance shove and gets him back and does the point, like, yeah, we're one for one on that. Like, they are so evenly matched. They can't get an advantage on each other.
And they are so different as well. You know, I mean, leading up to the fight week, Moreno, he's all smiles and stuff like that. And Figueiredo, you know, he just looks like a nasty bastard, doesn't he? And I don't mean that as in he's a nasty person, but like his fight persona. You got to remember, you change as a person. When it comes fight week, you know what I mean? You change, you're going in there. And some people don't, but a lot of people do. And you got to wear that hat, you know? He gets the fucking red stripe in his head and he's a nasty little bastard. And that's why we like seeing him fight. So great stuff. Great stuff. Really, really enjoyed it. All right. Today's episode is sponsored by BlueChew.com. You know the deal. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's in chewable form and it's at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction, or if you just want a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. and it ships right to your door in a discreet package, so nobody needs to know. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll be off to the races and your prescription will arrive in a few days. And the best part, it's all done online. That's all you need to know. You can chew it and then you do it, and nobody needs to know anything about it. And to take advantage of this, please listen, you're going to love this product. Go to bluechew.com, use the code BELIEVE. You're going to get your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Bluechew.com, the code is BELIEVE. First month for free. You just pay $5 in shipping. Okay, good luck, guys. Where were we? What did we have before that? Michelle Pejeda, who's never heard of a jab, but he can backflip all fucking day, right? Pejeda and his opponent, Fialhau, I think that's how you say it. Great, entertaining fight. Really, really fucking enjoyed that one. Pejeda looked like he'd manage his gas tank better. Too many flying knees. Too many flying fucking knees, man. My God.
I mean, I think it was towards the end of the first round that Piala put it on, right? And I remember the odds going into that second round, Pereira was actually the underdog. He was like a plus 240 underdog heading into that second round. And then, boom, you know, the early damage is there. And any time he hurt him, right, it was exactly that. The flying knees against the fence, when I feel like a simple three, four punch correct combination, you're going to get a lot further.
That's exactly what I was talking about against the fence. He was doing a lot of good damage. He'd back him up. He'd have him kind of hurt. And then he'd throw a flying knee, which wouldn't land. If he just controlled his range and used his boxing, you know, one, two, left, up, work to the body, throw a knee to the midsection or whatever. But, you know, I'm not criticizing. That's why he's exciting. You know, when he walks in, he puts on a show. He's doing the backflips. He's doing all that kind of stuff. He's doing Superman punches off the fence. You know, it's those unorthodox techniques that really, you know, as a fan, you really appreciate, you know. But he was powerful. He had a good onslaught. The front kicks to the stomach, they were really strong. It was a very solid performance against a tough opponent.
Yeah, I mean, he looked absolutely incredible, and it's like, you know, the overwhelming, you know, public response to the fight is like, oh, this guy's like at a Street Fighter, or he's a Mortal Kombat character, you know, like he does grab like the casual fans like eye. So, you know, if that's all you're going for, trying to raise your star with these highlight reel knockouts, then, you know, God bless you if you're going to keep getting wins.
Hey, if that's his style, that's his style. You know what I mean? You can't change people fundamentally who they are. Yes, some nice jabs and one-twos and more orthodox techniques would be good, but that's the way he likes to fight. So fuck it. Get used to it, because I like it. You know what I mean? It is fun, and he's a handful to deal with as well. Opening the card, what did we have? We had Saeed Nurmagomedov with the third fastest submission. He came out there. He was looking slick. I don't want to spend too much time on these. I'll run through a few of them. I thought Saeed Nurmagomedov on the feet, he's slick, but he got the third fastest submission in, what was it? What weight class was he in? Bantamweight.
He's a bantamweight, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say flyweight for some reason. In bantamweight history, 47 seconds, was it? It's fucking quick. Very, very fast. Michael Morales, he was a contender guy. A lot of people won't know who he is. 22 years old, undefeated. He comes from a family of martial artists. So, yeah, well done. Welcome to the UFC. Before that, Victor Henry and Ronnie Barcelos. Victor Henry taking a fight on short notice. A product of Josh Barnett and Eric Paulson in Fullerton, just down the street from where I'm at. What a fucking debut. Incredible. Jack Della Maddalena from Australia. He looked great. He's another guy that was on the last season of The Contender. Beautiful boxing on display. Caught him with, he just laid back, just enough out of the way. Boom, came in with a big straight left. Sat him down. The steamroller, Matt Frivola, fucking hell. I mean, I love Mike Beltran. He's a great referee. And he's a buddy of mine. Politely, we could say that he gave his opponent a lot of time to recover, shall we say.
I mean, he just had to be sure, right? You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, Frivola dropped him four times and then put a beating on him. Yeah, it was a great performance by Matt Frivola. And then opening the card, we had, who was it? Was it? No, the one before, Vanessa Demopoulos. Taking on Sylvia Gomez Suarez. Did you see the post-fight celebration?
Yeah, Joe Rogan with the lift.
God bless him. And you know, she left a former career of hers. Are you aware of this, Harrington?
I did hear about this.
Yeah, see, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I figured, you know, you're a company man. Let me give this the body details. But, you know, she had a full career as an exotic dancer, and she attributes that to some of her BJJ skills.
She does, the flexibility and stuff. She jumped up in the air. She did the splits on landing. Yeah, she was a stripper, and we didn't want to mention that before because she had one or two fights in the UFC. I think it's one. And yeah, we didn't want to mention him, but she came out Saturday night. Didn't care. Fair play to her. That's who she is. It didn't look good. She got dropped with a fucking hard shot. But fortunately, climbing up and down those poles, if you ask her, that's what she attributed it to. And slick armbar. It was what it was. It was, okay. Yeah. And then obviously we had one fight before that. Kay Hansen got beat off Jasmine Jazz Devicius. So, fun night of fights. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Pretty awesome card. I was going to do, you know, fight of the night bonus to Saeed Nurmagomedov. Absolutely incredible. You said it, you know, one of the fastest submissions in, you know, bantamweight history. But, you know, I don't know. Like, it's funny to me watching it with casual fans, right? They look at him and it's like, oh, that is that Khabib? Is he back? Right? Like, they see the Nurmagomedov and they're in. They're immediately in.
He's got nothing to do with Khabib. He has the same last name and he's from Dagestan, but he's not actually related. But it's if you are a casual, I mean, Nurmagomedov is not a common name, you know, and a lot of people couldn't say Nurmagomedov. It was a Nurmagomedov. You know, the people were struggling with that for a long time. Now it just rolls off the tongue. Like, we're all sort of, oh, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Oh, yeah, that guy, the undefeated guy, potentially the GOAT. But yeah, no, say he's got nothing to do with him, although does come from Dagestan and does present a problem for a lot of people in the world of mixed martial arts.
He's also got that Abe Lincoln beard, so it's like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he does have a beard. All right, what else are we missing? What other big storylines? We got UFC London, Volkov versus Tom Aspinall. Huge main event, literally. Shout out Tom, friend of the show. Ranked number 10, taking on Volkov, who's ranked number 5. So a massive opportunity. And for Tom Aspinall, it's going to be hard for him. I don't mean it's going to be hard. Incorrect choice of words, but he did say, and he has spoken, he's curious as to know how he's going to perform in front of a crowd. You know, when he fought at Cage Warriors, you know, a couple of thousand people, maybe 1,500 people. In the UFC, he's had 4 fights at the Apex and on Fight Island. So he hasn't had that feeling of 20,000 people. And he spoke to me about it. He said, I am curious to know how I'm going to deal with that. I think he'll be just fine. He will be fine. He's a level-headed guy. So shout out Tom. He also said he didn't want to rush it. He wanted to take his time. If he beats Volkov, he then becomes the number 5th ranked. And all eyes will be on him. Because I tell you what, let's go back to that on Saturday night. Francis Ngannou could not have used that same game plan against Tom Aspinall. No way. Tom has done jiu-jitsu his entire life. His dad is a really good jiu-jitsu instructor. He's got great wrestling. He's got great jiu-jitsu. Of course, he's got to withstand the punches from Ngannou to force Ngannou to try and go down that path. But that wouldn't work against Tom. Tom's a superior grappler to what Cyril Garn is.
Right, but I mean, I guess Francis's like a strong suit, right, is that everybody other than Cyril Gaon, he's gotten them to engage in a firefight. So it's like, yeah. You know, is Tom at a point where I think the Volkov fight is going to be a pretty good test of that, right? Like,
no, sure it is. Yeah, no, it's going to be a nice, you know, see where he's at. And it's a good step up. He's had 4 now. He's ranked 10. It's a little bit of a leap, a little bit of a jump. But best of luck, Tom. We'll get you on the show soon.
I was going to say, too, first main event. Right. So now he's at the head of the card in the UFC's return to the UK. First time headlining, first time in front of a crowd. I mean, as somebody who's been there before and done that, what kind of pressure is on your shoulders, you know, bringing a card home to the UK?
Well, it's like anytime you walk out there, you're the main event. There's so much pressure because you got people hitting you up for tickets. You got everyone hitting you up. You got the entire country resting on you for whether or not they have a good night or a bad night. It's like when you go watch a football team, you know, when you support whatever team. You have a team that you follow, Harrington?
Yeah, the New York Jets. They let me down every year.
Right. Okay. So if you pay money to go watch the New York Jets in a big game, you want them to win. And if they lose, you leave feeling kind of dejected, kind of deflated. You know, you didn't get the result that you want. You know, so you've got, you know, not everyone's going to be rooting for him. There'll be some Russians in there, but 90% of the people are going to be Brits rooting for Tom Aspinall, you know, and I used to feel that. And I'm sure a lot of fighters do. And then, of course, you got the extra media, you know. There's just it's a whole different ball game. Essentially, it's the same thing. You're walking in, you're fighting a man, but you've got a lot more responsibility on your shoulders. So good luck with it, Tom. We'll get you on the podcast real soon. It's going to be a good one. I'll be out there. Excited for that. What else have we got to talk about, though? What is going on in the world of MMA? Any other big stories or nonsense we can get into, Harrington?
Well, I mean, you did touch on it, but Teixeira versus Prochazka, good for UFC 264 in May in Rio. I mean, that's going to be a pretty awesome card, no?
Yeah, but we did just talk about that. We spent quite some time on that. We've touched upon it. Yes, the news is broken. As I even said, throw Amanda Nunes on there. Throw Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena. In fact, no, we can't have fucking nothing but title fights. Juliana Pena and Amanda, because who did I say? Charles Oliveira and Gaethje, Yuri and Glover. We're going to throw on Moreno and
Figueiredo.
Fuck it. Hey, it's the first quadrilogy. Let's do the first ever quadrilogy of title fights, or the tetralogy, UFC tetralogy, Brazil. Four title fights. I mean, fuck it, why not? The only thing is with that is that the UFC are doing 14 pay-per-views this year. You know what I mean? So they might not want to do that.
Well, I mean, if they're already doubling up belts, you know what I mean? Like, that sounds fun to me. Just keep your champions active, keep this thing rolling, and keep the divisions, you know, churning where the contenders feel like they are actually working towards something. Seems kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Lots of great fights this year. Jamaica, what time do you guys leave, Brian? Oof.
I have a show tonight at my club. I'm leaving at like 3 a.m. to go to the airport.
Same. I have a 8 o'clock flight.
Eight o'clock flight. So why are you leaving at 3 a.m.?
I'm leaving at like 5. I live about 40 minutes from the airport, and then
yeah. So get there for 6. Yeah, that's travel. About right for an international flight. A couple of hours before. What's the COVID restrictions getting into Jamaica? Is there any hoops you got to jump through?
I had to go take a COVID test this morning.
That's not too bad.
No.
Yeah.
Harrington was nodding his head aggressively though. Is it different for you, Hamilton? If you want to let in someone that want to get sexually penetrated off a dolphin, do you have to provide some paperwork first?
You got to go to the consulate, get a special visa. It's a whole thing. What it is it's just the act of filling out paperwork, right? Like you're going to another country. You have to put the place you're going to be staying, and it needs to be submitted to this office. Michael, you have to understand, right? Just paperwork staring you in the face is daunting, no?
Dude. Every time you enter a country, you have to say where you're going to be staying. You know what I mean? It's not that hard. I understand. I mean, it used to be a lot worse. You know, you haven't really traveled internationally through the pandemic. So when you go to the airport, you have these passenger locator forms and all the rest of it. And that is complicated. You know, it is. Your vaccination, then you got to have your test when you get there, and you got to pay, you know. So, and if you mess something up and then you get to the airport and it's not all correct, you know, you're not getting on that flight. So it is a little daunting in that regard. But if you're just talking, putting down your fucking address, come on, Harrison, you'll be all right. I've got faith in you, bud.
I just don't like it. It feels like there's pressure on me to meet deadlines for these kind of things. So it's always a little bit frustrating. But yeah, we got the COVID test in this morning. Woke up first thing bright and early, got that in. Passed with flying colors, sent them the thing. So yeah, I'm all set. I'm excited.
Nice, nice. Well, I hope you guys have a fantastic time. Enjoy Jamaica. No doubt, come back with lots of stories, and I can't wait to hear all about that stuff. All right, let's just hear from Chalk, C-H-O-Q. Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available. Listen, as you're getting a little bit older, things might start to slow down. Actually, men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low, and average testosterone levels are half of what they used to be in the 1970s. Not surprised when you look around at some of the human race and some of the people. Testosterone levels also decline 1% a year, which is crazy when you think about it, okay? And this is where Chalk Daily comes in. It is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available. The main ingredient is purified Shilajit, which comes from the Himalayan mountains, that translates to the destroyer of weakness. Shilajit delivers over 40 minerals, okay? So it's the good stuff. It's coming from the Himalayan mountains, and it is all good for you. Shilajit has helped men restore and maintain their vitality for over 5,000 years, and Choc Shilajit is clinically studied to boost total testosterone in healthy adult males 20% in 90 days. It supports healthy hormone systems. It promotes endurance, and it enhances healthy inflammation response, okay? Listen, take advantage of this. If you feel that you need this, if you feel yourself slipping a bit, if you're working out, you're not losing weight, if you haven't got that vigor, that virile, if you're not the sexual Tyrannosaurus that you used to be, go to Choc.com and get this handled. When you go to Choc.com and you use the code Bisping, you're going to get 50% off your order, which is a massive deal, let's be honest. Take care of your health. Take care of your testosterone as well. Be the man you were destined to be. Go to Choc.com. Use the code Bisping. You're going to get a huge 50% off. Okay, let's get back into it.
Oh, one other cool story from the weekend. I don't know if you saw this. To the press conference, Francis Ngannou had a pretty interesting piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
So it's boom. Right? That right there is...
I mean, look at that. I mean, that's beautiful. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But yeah, no, Francis was talking about this all week, his NFTs, and he's done one before he released one. And a sponsor a sponsor presented him an NFT on that gold chain with diamonds and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Not bad. And of course, if you're Alistair Overeem, you've been immortalized forever, getting knocked out of Alistair Overeem. But NFTs, man, NFTs, get used to hearing those three words because they're exploding. In fact, the UFC, they just released their own NFTs. And Brian, if I'm not mistaken, you've been looking into this, Brian, and you're already at the website, you're already looking to purchase, correct?
I literally just bought a pack of NFTs.
Oh.
And I got a friend of the show, Patty Pimblett's fight night, September 4th.
Hold on. So how much did this cost for a pack of the UFC? And what is it called? Strike yes. Something?
Yeah. NFT Strike. I don't know. I just spent $50. I feel like I've spent $50 on way worse things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
NFTs. I mean, I'm involved with Block Asset and Playland and Leverage Game Media, which are NFT companies now, but I'm still far from Mr. Fucking NFT. I understand what they are. And it's digital art, and it's a moment. That's what the UFC is doing. They're doing moments that happen within the UFC in the competitions, in the fights, which I think is a great idea. So, but Brian, so you bought there for say $50, and what did you get? You got like a lucky dip? Did you get a number like of the NFTs?
Yes, they all have serial numbers on them, and let's see.
No, did you get multiple in a pack? Is what I'm saying.
I got three. Yeah. I got Patty Pimblett's fight night KO September 4th, 2021. Edson Barboza from UFC 262, his KO. And
oh, nice.
McKinney, 263 KO.
And do you know how rare these are going to be? And when I say rare, how many are going to be released? Because obviously the scarcity is what makes them more valuable.
I think it says they printed 100,000 packs. So there's 300,000 UFC NFTs.
Oh, I see. So 300,000. But you know what? If you go back all the way to the start, to 1993, I mean, there's a lot of moments.
Yeah.
And this is going to be great for the athletes as well, because I was reading somewhere, I think 50% of the proceeds, or somebody from the UFC or one of the commentators was telling me at the weekend, 50% of the proceeds is going to go to the athletes as well. So, you know, that'll be a nice little revenue stream for everybody. So that's great. So what did you get? You got Paddy, you got Barboza, and you got Terrence McKinney. Yep. Not bad moments.
No,
I'm fucking buying some.
I might get back online right now, to be honest.
What website do you go to buy those?
I went to UFC. I just Googled UFC Strike.
Right. This sounds like an advert, by the way. They're not paying us for this whatsoever.
No, I literally just paid them. This is fucking ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the opposite of an advert. Yeah. Yeah.
It says there's 45,000 left as of me looking at it right.
I'm gonna buy some. I'm gonna buy some right now as well, and it will be my first ever NFT. Right, NFTs are blowing up. They're all over the place. I was having my coffee this morning, and there was a BBC feature on NFTs and how the movie business now is starting to use NFT money for crowdfunding and things like that. You know, because the way that they're funding movies now is very antiquated. What I don't understand, though, is that they keep going back to art, 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 art. It's for the artist and this and that. Where's this sudden fucking boom in everybody wanting to buy art? I get it's digital art, and I know that every time they sell the NFT, 20, 30, 50%, whatever the artist stipulates at the time of creating the NFT goes to them. Every time it changes hands with secondary and third hand sales, the artist continues to make money. But again, where is this demand for digital art and art all came from? And some of this is not what I would describe as digital art. It's pixelated fucking monkeys that a five-year-old could do.
Speaking of monkeys, I am one and I like stuff. So that's why I got this.
No. It's cool.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, like what is the value of like an old baseball card, right? Like what's the value of a Mickey Mantle card from like, you know, 1973?
But hold on. See, that's different, though, because that is, and just like the UFC NFTs, they're real things. And what I mean by that is it's a sport, that it's an athlete, it's a famous athlete. Who did you say, Mickey Mantle?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. It's like, what's the value of a fucking monkey picture?
What's the value? And I understand with the Bored Apes and stuff, that's now become a series. I understand that, you know, but we're not, and they're very desirable and they're scarce. If you don't know what the Bored Apes are, just take a look at that. It's a bunch of fucking apes. Whoa, fucking like this. Some have a joint in the mouth. Some of the faces melting and shit like that. And there's a value to that. And it's like one of the bigger brands. But there's so many out there that is just random stuff. You know what I mean? Why is that valuable?
Well, I mean, like, you know, you look at things like what Sean O'Malley's doing, right? Like he talked about it on here with us. If you have an NFT for somebody on Sean O'Malley's team, you have access to special Discords and Twitch streams and things you know, content in his world that you wouldn't be able to have without that. So using it as an access pass for the metaverse.
No, of course. But again, see my earlier point with Sean O'Malley, that's things attached to Sean O'Malley. And we did the same thing with Block Asset. Block Asset, I released some NFTs, the Legends Collection. And it was me, Muhammad Ali, Wayne Rooney, Alexander Ovechkin, and John Alomu. And just to be involved with that was fantastic. But same thing, though. If you buy them, you know, it's like kind of like a lucky dip, just like Brian said there. And some people, if they get a certain NFT, like if I'm wearing fucking, I don't know, depending on what the person's wearing, the character means you qualify for UFC tickets, a trip to LA for a training session with me, et cetera. So that's what Block Asset's doing. So I understand that because, of course, they're real sportsmen and they're legends, not me. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali, et cetera. You know, I understand that. I'm still struggling to grasp the concept, and I understand that. See, the NFT looks cool on Francis's chain there, and if you just admire that piece of art, then great. It's just there's a lot of it shit.
Well, I'm seeing here, if you own a Bored Ape, you can join a special Discord called The Bathroom, which is a Bored Ape yacht club. It's just a Discord thing. I don't know.
Yeah, the Bored Apes, though, is kind of like they're the biggest things, or one of the biggest things in the NFT world. But
what I wanted to ask you, you're going to get this pack of UFC Strike now.
I'll tell you what, I'll do it right now. Should we? Ooh. Can I do it right now and see what we get? It'll take 2 months. Awesome. Buying details.
Well,
in.
No, I literally auto-filled in my credit card, like my debit card information. It took me no time at all. But
should I do it right now and see what we get?
Go ahead. I'm online again because I'm retarded, and there's 20 minutes left. There's about 18,000 people in front of me. So if you join right now, you might be able to get in. If you're watching this, you are late.
Hold on. What you mean getting to buy some because they'll be gone soon?
I think so. I mean, there's.
Hold on, wait there. Let me get my wallet.
There's 45,000 left.
We'll just have to cut some bits out. One second.
Yeah, sure.
1 minute, 37 seconds later.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, Brian. We just had to edit it a little bit out there, ladies and gentlemen, while Brian babied me through my first ever NFT purchase, which, by the way, I haven't done yet. I'm in a waiting line on UFC Strike. Again, not an ad, but it is my first ever NFT. And you never know. If I become addicted to buying NFTs, Brian, I'm blaming you, but I'm in the queue. I've got 41 minutes. I've got 25,000 people ahead of me.
We're going to hang out in the metaverse together.
We're going to be in the fucking metaverse, baby boy. Get your Oculus headsets on right now. But I tell you what, you know what this says? There's 25,000 people in a line right now to buy these UFC NFTs. Brian, thank you, because these things are going to be in demand. They're going to be in demand. All I want to know is, when I look on the list of all the athletes, my name wasn't on there. Sell my fucking NFT. Have me knocking out Luke Rockhold. I want to earn some money, please.
They're doing another printing in April, I believe.
Minting, I believe, is the expression that they use.
What a fucking loser I am.
Oh, come on. Minting NFTs. I'm going to mint my own NFT of Harrington's head. Seems you can mint anything and it'll sell. Go on.
I was going to ask you they are going to, you know, eventually, I'm sure, get to the Michael Bisping, you know, portion of the UFC strike NFTs. Which moment of yours, right? If you could get any one of the pack, would you like as an NFT?
Rock. Well, not that one where I pulled my headphones out. the iconic ones for me would be obviously winning the belt against Luke Rockhold, you know, either hands up in the air, having the belt put on me, or actually knocking him out, winning against Anderson Silva, you know, making my debut, winning the Ultimate Fighter, you know, and then there's certain other key fights around the world. So they'd be interesting. I had an offer for an NFT a while ago, and what they were going to do is they guaranteed some really good money for it as well, because what they wanted me to do was actually give them my eyeball, you know. So you would buy the NFT, but you would actually also get my eyeball. Do you know what I mean? Which was a pretty good idea, but it never came off the ground. So I might just do that myself. Fuck it. I'm giving away eyeballs up in this bitch. Interesting. So, wow, that's really cool. I've gone down now. It's gone up. I was 44 minutes at the start, and now I'm 47 minutes. People are taking the time. I've only got 24,000 people in front of me now. All right. Interesting stuff. There it is. NFTs. You're off to Jamaica Sunday afternoon here. We're going to sign off now. Tremendous fights last night. Hope you all enjoyed it. Harrington, anything?
Well, I was just going to say before we go, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell so you find out whenever a new episode's coming out. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe and leave a positive review. 5 stars, we really appreciate that. Helps out, grow the show. And if you want to catch over 300 episodes of the show you can't find anywhere else, totally ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 25 great shows on the network.
And try not to get penetrated when you're swimming with dolphins down in Jamaica. But do have a great time. You deserve it, boys. We appreciate your help on the show. Only one episode this week, because obviously the guys are on vacation. So enjoy yourselves. We appreciate all the support. But we will be back with 2 shows next week. And Anthony Smith will be on one of them, either on the Monday or the Thursday. Going forward, Anthony Smith will be joining the show. We don't know which one, because obviously he's got training camps and things like that. He's still an active fighter, so it'll be hard for him to always to commit. So I'm going to give him flexibility on that week, which is best for him, and we'll make it happen. But he will be a solid addition to the show. Thank you, Anthony Lionheart Smith. And thank you, Harrington. And thank you, Brian. But more importantly, thank you guys, all of you, each and every one of you, for supporting the show. We appreciate you. All right, enjoy your week, and we'll see you next Monday. All the best.